That was beautiful. I was going to say, I wish I could sing like that. No. That's not exactly the way a man would like to be heard. Kind of reminds me of back in my radio career, I got to interview a lot of celebrities. And one time I was interviewing Richard Sturban. If you don't recognize the name, he's the bass singer for the Oak Ridge Boys. If you've ever heard the Oak Ridge Boys, you've heard the song Elvira. And there's a part in the middle that Richard sings that's Papa Mau Mau in his deep voice. And I said, you know, I hate interviewing you because compared to you, I sound like a little girl. I don't remember whether he thought that was funny or not. But anyway, we're here today to celebrate the Spirit of God, God's Spirit, and the fact that, as was stated in earlier presentations today, the Spirit of God and how it happens to affect our lives and our thinking more than anything, and our relations with one another, our relations, I think as I brought out yesterday, our relations with the world, our relations with people we come in contact with in and out of the church. But I have a question for you today. What if we, I'll put that first person singular, or second person singular, I guess, I'm trying to think of my eighth grade English. What if that happened to you? What if you lost God's Spirit? What if I lost God's Spirit? First person singular. First of all, you might ask, well, can that happen? And it can. We can lose God's Spirit. It's not permanent. It's not a case of once saved, always saved. We can lose God's Spirit. You and I can. It happened. We can see it biblically. It happened to Saul. In 1 Samuel 16 and verse 14, the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. So Saul lost God's Spirit, and God allowed an evil spirit to vex him or to take over his thinking. It could have happened to David. It came close. We read, you know, in David's situation of the sins that he committed. He committed adultery. He committed murder to kind of cover up the adultery. And in Psalms 51:11, which is a very key scripture, I think most of us have read that or read it regularly, David's prayer of repentance in Psalm 51 and verse 11 says, "Cast me not away from your presence and take not your Holy Spirit from me." David realized he could lose God's Spirit after he had sinned. So, you know, I don't know if it was openly, but sinned. Definitely sinned in two cases. So he says, "Cast me not away from your presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from me." We can lose God's Spirit. It happened to Saul. It almost happened to David. John 15 and verse 4. We'll go on to there, John 15, 4 through 6. Jesus Christ says, "Abide in me and I in you. And a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can you except you abide in me." We have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And if we don't allow that relationship to continue, if that's not the basis of our faith, then, you know, we can be like a branch. He says, "I'm the vine, you're the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing." Without Jesus Christ, on our own, we cannot earn salvation. We cannot do anything productive spiritually unless we rely on our relationship with Jesus Christ. "If a man abide not in me, he's cast forth as a branch and is withered. Men gather them and cast them into a fire, and they're burned." So without Jesus Christ, we can dry up and be cut off. It can happen to me. It can happen to you. While I was musing as we were having the potluck, by the way, it was a great potluck. Not everybody had some of my salad. There's some of it left if you want to take it home. But it was great. And I particularly enjoy seedless watermelon. I enjoy seedless watermelon so much that I was thinking of growing my own. I couldn't find any seeds for it. If you know where I can buy some, let me know, because I couldn't find them. I know there's another technique that's used to give us seedless watermelon. But again, we can lose God's Spirit. We have to look critically at ourselves and see it can happen. It can happen to us. How would we know that we are losing or in danger of losing God's Holy Spirit? Turn to Matthew 24 and 12. Matthew 24, verse 12. And because iniquity shall abound, and we're going to see that. We've heard that already today, haven't we? We're going to see iniquity abound. And I go back, I was talking to somebody yesterday. Maybe it was in church, maybe it was just in the family. About things that have happened in my lifetime. Now, I'm older than most of you, but in my lifetime, some of the horrific things that happened. I watch the History Channel a lot, and I watch the Smithsonian Channel, and they've done some things on events that have happened, cruel events that have happened since I was born in 1941. Hitler's desire to exterminate the Jews. What, 6 million people are thought to have died because of that. And then the war itself took millions and millions of more lives. The bombing of Hiroshima and Nagasaki took more lives. And this is in my lifetime, a young guy like me. Well, I like to think of myself as young, but it can happen. And we see that iniquity, and that is only the beginning. We're going to see more horrifying things happen in our lives if we live on much longer. And if they happen sooner than maybe we think they will. I know over the years we've kind of thought that, well, can't get any worse than this. Oh, yes, it can. It can get much worse. Turn to Revelation 3 and verse 15. Revelation 3:15, and we'll read here in Revelation a little bit about the message to the churches, and specifically the church of Laodicea. Now, is that us? I don't know. I don't know whether it's talking about us, whether it's talking the next era of the church, but let's take it personal and see if this might apply to us. And because iniquity shall abound, that was what I just read, Revelation 3:15, I know your works. God knows our works. He knows what we're doing. He knows what we're thinking. He knows how we're relating to one another. So I know your works. You're neither hot nor cold. I would that you were cold or hot. You know, if you just didn't care and you weren't involving yourself with me and my plan, or if you're just on fire with the gospel, with the promise of God's kingdom, I would that you were, be one or the other, but we're kind of maybe, and you can ask this personally to yourself, am I lukewarm? Because you say, I am rich. And everybody in this room, I think by world standards, can say, yeah, we're rich. How many of you enjoyed a good potluck today? How many of you drove here today in your cars with plenty of gasoline in the tank? Not so if you live in Washington, D.C. or some of the eastern states that have been cut off from gasoline. And, that's a rather fragile commodity. But we got here. We had plenty of gas. I did. If you want to borrow some of mine, I'll let you. But that was covered in the sermon this morning. Because you say I am rich, I'm increased with goods. My wife and I, our kids are gone, although my son may move back with us next week, or maybe he's doing it today because of his heart surgery. And so we may have our kids back, but we've got this house. We brought up three kids in a house with three bedrooms and one bathroom. Now we have two of us living in a house with three bathrooms. So I am rich and have need of nothing. But you don't know how wretched you are. You're wretched. You're miserable. You're poor and blind and naked. We're spiritually hurting. We can be. Hopefully I'm not. I mean, I look around. I'm very satisfied with my surroundings, very satisfied with the house I live in and the furnishings I have. I have two cars that are paid for. My house is paid for, but that could all change. But are we satisfied, so satisfied with what we've been given, that maybe we don't realize that we're poor, we're wretched, we're blind. We really don't see things as they are, as God sees them. We're naked, we're poorly clothed, as far as spiritually. Matthew 10 and verse 39, he that finds his life shall lose it. You think you got it made? Well, you could lose your life. And he that loses his life for my sake shall find it. Do we have our priorities in line? Do we have our priorities in the right place? Are we focused on the right things? And we have reminders every week as we come here, if we don't think about it during the week, and hopefully we think about it every day, that we can be focused on ourselves. You know, I think of my financial status right now. I'm in better shape than I've ever been, I think, financially. And I can say, well, you know, I've found it. I'm back. I always think, well, back when we were rich, wait a minute, that's now for my wife and I. Our kids are gone. They come back once in a while for visits. Not as often as we'd like. Sometimes, I don't think we ever get tired. We have a granddaughter who pays particular attention to us, and we're real grateful to her and for her. But that doesn't mean we love her more than the rest. One granddaughter asked my wife, okay, which of your grandchildren do you like the best? Is it me? And Sharon said, no, I like everybody the same. Oh, come on. It's got to be me. And but she's focused on herself. And do we focus on ourselves and those close to us? Skipping ahead, or going back actually, in Matthew 10, and we'll begin in verse 35. I am come to set a man at variance against his father. Has that happened to any of you, where you have been at variance? You've had family arguments with your father, your mother, a daughter. Oh, I've got some of those. Against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. You know, Evans mentioned this morning his adoration. Maybe I'm using too strong a word for Rush Limbaugh. I used to travel a lot, and part of my travel, as I've mentioned before, was to listen to the radio. And I would be in Kansas or Nebraska, maybe down in Louisiana, and I'd hear Rush Limbaugh. And nobody was carrying Rush Limbaugh here. And just as a broadcaster, I thought, they need to carry Rush Limbaugh, somebody in Springfield, because he's good at what he does. I mean, being a broadcaster, I realized how skilled he was. I'm not saying Mr. Evans was wrong in sort of throwing all that away, because I have done that too. I have a button for Rush Limbaugh on my radio. I call it my hate button. If I want to stir up hate for anybody, usually I can push that button and find somebody sort of in the area I'm leaning on, someone on the far right who they spend whole amounts of time finding fault with the liberals. And of course, if I want to go to television, there's one particular TV show that I don't watch, my wife does. And that's, I won't say what it is, because you might get curious. That's the other end of the hate spectrum. You want to hate conservatives? Oh, a year ago, if you wanted to hate Donald Trump, boy, you could get plenty of support from there. So I don't go to either extreme. And I think they are extremes. You know, and another tool is Google. If you go to Google, you can find an argument against, a hateful argument against the liberals or against the conservatives. It's all right there. You know, it might be two adjoining articles. So anyway, I'm getting ahead of myself. No, I'm getting off track. That's what I'm getting at. But sometimes that will happen. My daughter, you know, we were talking about something and brought up the Bible, and she said, and she's been to a, you know, she has a degree from a liberal arts college, and she said, oh, the Bible. She says, it's just a bunch of men got together and decided they were going to, you know, they were going to write this stuff down. But it's all men. It's all their thinking. And so we have divisions in our family because of that. And a man's foes shall be those of his own household. Some of you are, my children and I, we get along. You know, I think I mentioned this a couple Thanksgivings ago. I guess it was four or five Thanksgivings ago when Donald Trump was elected president. My son was far to the right. My daughters were far to the left. And we were going to get together for Thanksgiving. I set out the rules. I said, we have a room in this house where you can discuss politics. It's called the backyard. Nobody took me up on it. Everyone was cordial. Everybody stayed in the house. I think the weather was probably a little chilly that day. That may have contributed to it. He that loves father or mother more than me, we see that a lot, is not worthy of me. We sometimes have to sacrifice members of our own families, of a son or a daughter. Again, I haven't had to do that because I set down the rules, but I do hear it from both sides. He that does that is not worthy of me when we put even family members ahead of God in our relationship with him. He that takes up his cross and follows me is not worthy of me, or takes not up his cross. When we decide we're going to do a little of this, a little of that, depending on who we're around, we will, you know, do what's discreet. We won't start arguments, and I try not to start them, but we won't argue. Romans 8. Start with, turn to Romans 8, beginning in verse 5. Romans 8, 5 through 11. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. You know, when our personal physical being, physical priorities take rule, then we're minding things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. We should be thinking in spiritual terms. What does God think of this? Does he want me to hate, you know, liberals? Does he want me to hate conservatives? I don't think he wants me to hate anybody. He has plans for everyone. You know, even, you know, I've often mentioned Adolf Hitler as someone who I think we mutually despise. I know there are people in this community, in this area of the country. I used to do a radio talk show. One guy called repeatedly, and I know I've told this story before, but I said, okay, I'm going to name somebody. Could you tell me, am I talking about a good guy or a bad guy? And he was very, very, very far to the right and considered the fact that the Jews control the media, and of course the Jews are the problem. Okay, I'm going to name this person, good guy, bad guy, Adolf Hitler, dead on the other end of the phone. He said, well, that's not the point. He didn't want to label Adolf Hitler as a bad guy. And there are people in this community, some of whom marched on the Capitol on, what was it, January 6th, who are of the extreme right. And I remember seeing the flags going by, and somehow they don't show the one that bothered me the most was the Nazi flag. They had people with Nazi flags that were, and of course, Confederate flags and everything else. To be carnally minded when you put your mind on physical things that are of one extreme or another is life. To be carnally minded is death, but spiritually minded is life and peace. hopefully that's where our mind is, spiritually minded. The carnal mind is enmity against God. We don't like God naturally, for it's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. You think most of the people who are worshiping today, going to churches, think of God's law as a good thing? No. So he that is of the flesh cannot please God. We can't please God with physical things that we do. We can't earn our salvation. But you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. So be the Spirit of God, so be it if the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. We have to be spiritual minded. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, and the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, then he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in you. So again, we can and have to be aware of some of these early signs of being physically minded over spiritually minded. We have to be careful of that. We have to protect our spiritual orientation. You know, whether it's, you know, we just love Rush Limbaugh because he puts down the liberals, or we like, they used to say in this one show, four ladies, four points of view. They don't say that anymore because this is so hateful toward conservatives that they really can't say that because they at some point all became critical of conservative people, one in particular who's no longer president. How do we keep from losing God's Spirit? How do we keep from losing God's Spirit? We ask for it. That's one thing. It's a gift. We have to ask for God's Spirit. Matthew 7 and verse 7. Matthew 7, verse 7 through 11. Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks receives. He that seeks finds. To him that knocks, it shall be opened. God is willing to give you his Spirit, his essence, his direction in your life. Or what man is there of you whom his son asks bread will give him a stone? You know, your kids want something. Your son wants something. You know, our son may move in with us for a few days after his heart surgery because his wife is afraid of him being alone when she goes to work. So she's continuing to work. So, but you know, when your kid needs a place to stay, what do you do? So your kid asks for something, you give it to him. Then if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, which is in heaven, give good gifts for things that we ask or for things that are asked of him? Do we ask for God's Spirit? He desperately wants us to have it. He really wants us to have it. He set aside a holy day to celebrate that. Do we ask for God's Spirit? Not just, I think it was mentioned this morning in the sermon, not just, you know, well, once a week, I think I'll... No, every single day do you ask for God's Spirit. Do you ask for that gift? Because you ain't going to find it on your own. You have to ask for it every day. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 16. 2 Corinthians 4:16, for which cause we faint not, though our outward man perish, our inward man is renewed every week when we go to Sabbath. No, day by day. Do we ask for God's Spirit day by day? Because it's not something we earn. It's not something we develop. It's a gift. It's a gift from God. Acts 2 and verse 38, and we hear this quoted a lot on this holy day. Acts 2:38, then Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall earn, that's not what it says, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So are we praying for God's Spirit every day, for ourselves, for the people at the home office, for other congregations around the world who need God's Spirit to survive spiritually? Are you asking for that, not just for me, not just for us, but for others in the congregation, for others in the church around the world. And we don't know, you know, all the divisions of the church after Satan has desired to and sifted us. But do we really want that gift? And once we're given that gift, we need to use it. We need to use it. So ask for God's Spirit. And once you have it, use it. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 6. 2 Timothy 1:6. Therefore, I put you in remembrance that you stir up the gift of God which is in you by the putting on of my hands. We need to stir up God's Spirit. We need to, the word stir up here, or the phrase actually means to kindle up, to inflame one's mind. You know, strength through zeal. Do you desperately want God's Spirit in your life? And 1 Timothy 4:13 through 15, then I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is given you, which is given you by prophecy, with the laying on of hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things, give yourself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. So we need to ask for God's gift, for God's Spirit, and we need to use it, not just feel good about it. It's not for us to feel good about ourselves, but to feel good and make others feel good. John 7, verse 37. In the last day, in that great day of the feast, Jesus stood up and cried, saying, if a man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. God, Jesus Christ, gives us that gift, invites us to drink of him. He that believes on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Does that talk about you? Does God's Spirit flow through you, not just into you, but through you? But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. God gives us power, but we need to turn the switch. You can look at your home. How much power do you have coming to your home? Bob Bricker was telling us between services about his experience with electrical power and how he was working around it, and one day became part of the circuit and was, I forgot what he was jolted with, I think it was 240 volts of electricity. So, you know, that was fascinating to hear. Poor him. But we are given this tremendous power, this power of God's Holy Spirit. We need to ask for it. We need to use it. God gives us the power, but we need to throw the switch. We need to throw the switch. We need to turn the lights on. There's part of it that it comes back down to us. So we need to turn the switch. Or it'll be dark. You come in here at 3 o'clock in the morning or whatever, it's going to be dark in here. And if you know where the switch is, you can throw the switch. I think it's over by that door, or maybe by the other door, maybe both. But unless you throw the switch, it's going to stay dark. And same with your life and your access to God's Holy Spirit. So we need to turn the switch. And then what needs to happen? It will benefit others. Galatians 5, verses 22, 23, you've probably all read this many times, but it describes the fruits of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. Do we show love? Do we give love? Or do we just feel God's love and that's satisfying? Oh, I feel good now. No, we need to accept God's love. Did we hear anything about joy today? Yes, joy. You know, joy. That's another of the fruits of the Spirit. Do we give joy, not just feel good? Peace. Do we promote peace among people we know? long-suffering patience. Do we sometimes just put up with things? Gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. So we should display God's love, God's joy, peace, patience, or long-suffering, as it says in the Old English, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. John 15 and verse 7. John 15 and verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask whatever you will, and it shall be done unto you. Do we, again, abide in Christ? Remember, as kids, we used to think, boy, anything God, I ask of God, he's going to give it to me. There's this girl that lives on the next street. I want her to fall madly in love with me. You know, that never really worked. I had to go clear across town to find a girlfriend who would have me and would love me. And we've been married now. This summer it'll be 60 years. So God had some. God can say yes. God can say no. God can say not yet. And fortunately, in my case, God said not yet. Go across the bridge, go to the other side of town, and my good buddy told me what he knew a girl over there looked like Marilyn Monroe. Ooh. And told her through her friend that she had a buddy who looked like Elvis. Okay, I used to use my mother's mascara to darken my sideburns a little bit. But anyway, we've been married 60 years this August, so that worked out. It was actually this girl on the same street that we all felt a great deal of affection for. But I don't even know where she is, what has become of her. She did become the county harvest queen or something. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so you will you be my disciples. Again, the old question, can we lose God's Spirit? Can we lose God's Spirit? We can see in history it has happened to us. It can happen to us. It can happen to you and to me. We need to see those warning signs that tell us, well, maybe we're not on track. Maybe we need to, you know, do things a little differently. We need to give ourselves more to God and his purpose and to accept his Spirit as a gift. And we need to pray for that gift and use it for ourselves and for the benefit of others.